the song we sing at the nursing home every time we depart. It's an old hymn called Make Me a Blessing. The chorus goes like this. Make me a blessing. Make me a blessing. Out of my life, may Jesus shine. Make me a blessing, O Savior, I pray. Make me a blessing to someone today. Hallelujah. How's that for a daily song to live by? Amen. You know why God blesses us? So we can look spiritual. So we can be an effective witness for Him. Amen. As He blesses us, we become a blessing to this world. Hallelujah. That's why we do need His blessing. That's why we say, Lord, bless me and keep me and cause Your face to shine upon me and be gracious unto me. We all need to receive from the Lord, don't we? We're needy. We're desperate for Him. Without Him, there's no life. He is our life. And in order for us to experience the resurrection life of Christ, we have to die to ourselves. And, you know, getting a grasp on that concept is not that easy, and it's impossible apart from revelation. Apart from the Holy Spirit revealing it to us, we really can't understand what does it mean to die to myself. In order for you to experience resurrection, there has to first be a death to the old man. Do you understand that God doesn't cleanse the old sin nature? He washes away the deeds and the acts that we have committed in our old nature, sins, but He doesn't cleanse the sin nature. We call it the old man or the flesh. So we need to understand that what God is actually telling us to do is that you have to deny yourself in order to be my follower. You cannot live a selfish life and live the life that Christ has called you to. So there has to be a putting off and a putting on, a putting off of the old and a putting on of the new. There has to be a denying of the old and a receiving of the new. We have to walk in new life. We have to walk now according to the rule of the Spirit of life in Christ that is within us as we are born of His Spirit. We receive that anointing, amen, that teaches us, that instructs us, and says this is the way to walk, amen, this is the way to go. So, there's two of us, and one part we don't like very much. Can you say amen to that? It's the old nature, and the old nature struggles with the new nature, fights, and wants to have control of the vessel. But God has given you and I control of our vessels. He's given us responsibility for our vessels. Amen? To behave ourselves in our vessel. To keep ourselves pure, amen, in this vessel. Because this vessel in Christ has become the temple of the Holy Spirit. So we don't take something that is supposed to be holy and set apart for God and His use and commit it to sexual immorality. We don't commit it to sin. Amen? We have to behave ourselves because we are the temple of God's Holy Spirit. Amen? And so God gives us the ability by His Spirit to control what we do in these bodies. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So we can't say I couldn't help myself. Because you can't. You chose not to behave yourself. If you're in Christ today, if you are born again, you have the ability to control what you do in your body. You have the ability to tell your body what to do. When we were in the world and separated from Christ, often our bodies told us what to do. But now in Christ Jesus, I have been set free from that body of death in the sense that it no longer has power or the ability to control me. I have been given the authorization by God to command myself and tell myself what to do. I will bless thee, O Lord. I will sing unto the Lord a new song. Amen. I will clap my hands. I will praise His name. Because I take control of my will and I submit it to the will of God. God doesn't take over. Jesus, take the wheel. You understand what I'm saying? Jesus, take the wheel. Well, guess what? God is actually in a partnership with us. And He's asking you and I to cooperate with His Holy Spirit. And we'll each take a side of that wheel and we'll do it together. You understand? Because then a lot of people will use the excuse, well, if God doesn't do it, then I can't do it. Well, what Paul said, I can do what? All things through Christ. Realizing that the ability that he had to live a life that was pleasing to God was a result of the indwelling Christ in him. It was a result of the strength that the Spirit of God would give him daily as he chose to deny himself daily and obey the Spirit of the Lord. If we don't stay connected to the Spirit of the Lord, if we don't pray, amen, if we don't stay in fellowship with God's people, come on somebody, then we start to get very thin very quick. And we find all of a sudden that that other part of us that we really don't like, come on, is starting to take control again. And we're starting to do things that we don't want to do. But because we have allowed ourselves to get into a place where we are weak because we have disconnected from fellowship with the Holy Spirit and His people, now we become prey. So what the enemy, what the devil wants to do is he wants to resurrect that old man in you and I. What God wants you to do is put that part of you to death daily. Absolutely starve it out. Refuse to listen to it. Take those thoughts captive. Amen? Amen. You have the ability to do that because God has given you His Spirit. He's given you His Word. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." The dunamis of God. The same word that we find in Acts 1:8. You shall receive dunamis when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. The message of the cross is foolish to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. What is the message of the cross? You cannot have resurrection without the cross. You cannot have new life without death to the old life. You understand? God gives us charge of ourselves. So you choose who you're going to obey. Whether sin unto death or the Spirit. Amen? How many hate your old man? You hate that flesh, don't you? If you're born again, if the Spirit of Christ is in you, then you know what I'm talking about today. If you're not really born again, you're not going to get it. All this will be to you is just a self-help improvement course. Are you hearing me? It's just, I think I'll just improve my life a little bit today by going to church. See, God didn't come to just improve us. He didn't come to approve upon the old. But he came to do away with the old so that we can walk in the new. And so the power of sin has been broken if you're in Christ. And God has already given you the authorization in His name to walk in victory because Christ has overcome. And the overcomer dwells within us. So there's no excuse. It's you and I making a decision each day who we will serve. On the day of judgment, people are not going to be able to say, I didn't know any better. If you knew better, God knows. If we love Jesus, then we don't do those things that grieve Him. If Christ is in you, then the love of God is in you. Amen. If you're in right standing with God, then you have the desire of God in you to do right. But then you sense this other thing in you warring against that part of you. There's a conflict. Now hear me. This is the biggest problem that we all face, is the enemy is constantly trying to come against your prayer life, come against your devotion, your obedience. He's trying to get you out of faith, out of sync with the Spirit. He's constantly looking for ways to distract you and I so that He can weaken us spiritually. And that old man will begin to resurrect again. And then the people that we were talking to and we were sharing the gospel with, amen, well, all of a sudden they'll see this other thing starting to resurrect. That ugly thing starting to stick its head up. And it will create a problem, wouldn't it? It will give them an opportunity to blaspheme God. Do you understand that there is no excuse for us not living a life that is pleasing to God, because God has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. We have what's available, amen, 24/7. God gives us grace for the journey. Now, in order for me to experience God's power, I can no longer put confidence in myself. I can no longer be self-confident. Now hear me, this is what the world wants you to believe. This is what psychiatry tells you. The mind sciences. Oh, your problem is low self-esteem. Lack of self-confidence. No. Your problem, hear me, I don't mean to be crude, but is that we're too full of ourselves. People that live selfless lives always do better. People who live selfless lives are not consumed with their own problems. When a dog is out of the kennel, it's no longer preoccupied with swatting the fleas. You get that dog out and you put him on the hunt, and all of a sudden he forgets all about the fleas. He's on the hunt. He's on a mission. When you and I are engaged in the mission of God, living for Jesus Christ, denying that part of us that says, I don't want to, and saying yes to the Spirit, each time we do that, God says, well done, I can trust you with more. We need the authority of God working in our lives, and authority is entrusted to those who are obedient. Come on. You don't entrust things to your children until they are ready for it. Amen? Until they have demonstrated that they can be trusted with what you're going to give them. You don't give them the car keys until they're ready. Amen? And that they have proven that when the cat's away, come on. Now, of course, none of you ever did that, but just in case. Likewise, the Father has good things, good gifts for us, and He's allowing us to partner with Him in this and to be a part of invading hell and plundering hell and populating heaven, if you will. And we get to do this. We get to be a part of what the Lord is doing. We get to do this. But the Father is wise, much wiser than we are. So we have to depend upon His wisdom. We have to depend upon His strength because He's much stronger than we are. Amen? So if I'm trusting in myself to be a good Christian, then I'm simply a hypocrite that's acting like a Christian.
Yeah, that's true.
See, we can get good at acting like Christians. Amen. Praise the Lord, brother. Get one of those hairdos going on or whatever, you know. What do you think? Huh? I don't want to be a fake. I don't want to be a hypocrite. Amen. So I need to believe in what God says about me, who I am, an identity as a son and an heir. And as an heir and as a son, I also have to be disciplined. I have to be trained. I have to be taught obedience, even through the things that I suffer in life, the times when people do things to us, say things about us, mistreat us in life, and how we have to learn the discipline of self-control in those times. Amen? So that God says, I don't have a loose cannon here. I have somebody that I can entrust with the greater riches of the kingdom. Amen? If we just fly off the handle over the spilled milk in our lives, God's not going to be able to entrust you with something, amen, that requires great responsibility. Why? Because you represent Him and His honor.
Amen.
All of us fail in this thing that we call our Christian walk. Everybody does. I know some of you don't feel that way, but you do. We make mistakes. But we learn because we're sons, amen? Father has to discipline us, and we learn and we say, okay, I'm not doing that anymore. I got onto a rant. I was ranting and raving against this person that mistreated me, and I just couldn't forgive them, and I was holding this against them, and every time their name came up, I had to make sure I put in a few choice words for that person because you know what they did to me. And the Spirit of the Lord begins to deal with your heart. And He begins to put that conviction on you. You begin to say, oh God, I'm sorry. What are you going to do with it? He says, you got to give it to me. You got to let that person go just like I let you go. Now you need to let them go. You need to pray for the grace. I'll give you the grace to do whatever I'm calling you to do. If God is convicting you about anything, He's not just going to leave you out there, amen, floundering. He's given you the authorization. Because of the conviction, it also comes with it the authorization to do what He tells you to do. So if God is telling me to quit something, He gives me the grace to do it. It's that simple. The grace is already available in Christ. It's already available. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, because my confidence is not in my ability to live for God, but I forget about self and I put my confidence in the power and the ability that God supplies by His Spirit, and I have life and peace in the Spirit because I'm not looking to me, but I'm looking to Him. If you're struggling with a besetting sin, it's because you need to deal with yourself. You need to deny yourself. You need to tell yourself that you're not going to do that anymore because God has authorized you to do that. Well, I tried, but I just couldn't do it. No, you couldn't do it, but God can do it for you if you will trust Him.
Amen.
What is God asking us to do? He's asking us to cooperate. If God's telling me to quit drinking or smoking or sleeping around or whatever it might be, if God is dealing with my heart about something, He's going to provide the grace for me to overcome that. Yeah, that's He. That's who He is. So what do I need to do? Well, if it's an addiction, I need to stand my ground and say, I'm not an addict. I refuse the identity of being an addict. Amen? I'm not a drug addict. I'm a child of God. That's who I am. And therefore, as a child of God, I've been authorized by my Father to take control of this body and tell this body what to do, even if it requires suffering, because suffering leads to obedience. See, we just want this easy thing to just slide through everything and without any struggle. Well, if you struggle in your flesh, you're done with sin. That means I refuse any longer to bow down to that master. Amen. I'm listening to the Lord. If the Lord says, stop it, then we stop it. Why? Because He's given me the authorization. He's given me the power to do it. I find the best way to resist the devil is to seek God. Seek God. Press into God. Pursue Him. Go after Him. Look to Him. Amen? Speak to the back, devil. I'm looking to Jesus.
Amen.
That's why the devil tries to get you and I to stop doing that. He's saying, hey, over here, over here. No, over here. He's like a narcissistic spoiled brat wanting attention. He does. He wants attention. He wants worship from you. So when you start hearing that voice, you just turn to the good shepherd. Amen. You call upon the name of Jesus Christ. Say, Lord Jesus, I need your strength. I need your help right now. And God says, you have it. And you turn around and you tell him where to go. You rebuke him in Jesus' name. You have the authority in Jesus' name. You take authority over yourself because God's given you charge of yourself. No excuse. If I decide to go out and sin, it's because I decided to go out and sin, not because the devil made me do it. Because I've been free. I'm free from sin, the power of it. If you want resurrection power, you got to die to that old nature, that old man. You can't live in two worlds. Otherwise, you're double-minded. After Paul's conversion, he can no longer walk in self-confidence. He can no longer be in self-assurance. After his conversion, here's a man that had every confidence in his education. Okay? And he was more educated than most of the people around him, and yet he had no confidence any longer in that. When he was born again, when he was converted, he realized that in him there was no good thing. In him was not the ability to please God. He had to rely upon the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's why we emphasize that so much here, is we need people to understand that you need the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. You need to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, and you need to continue in that. If some people, I spoke in tongues 20 years ago, or, well, what are you doing today? Well, now I just sit around and criticize everybody in church. The old man is in charge again. You got to daily put that thing to death. Amen. You got to make a decision, an act of your will, that I'm not going to obey my sin nature. And I've discovered when I practice this on a daily basis and I continue to say no, it gets weaker and weaker and weaker. Amen. And then instead I start to feed my faith. I pray. I read the word. I get into fellowship as often as possible. Amen. You need to get the word in you, man. You need to get into fellowship with other believers. Amen. And get that word in you, man. Because that's what's going to sustain you. Amen. That is your sword. There's a lot of people, they don't even know what they've got in their hand. Amen. They may have a sword, but they don't know how to use it. How many know that we're not just here to learn so we can be smarter, right? We're here to be empowered, to be enabled to live a life of victory. Philippians 3:3, for we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly circumcised. Talking about circumcision in the flesh and relating that to a Spirit-led life. We rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. We put no confidence in human effort. That's New Living Translation. We put no confidence in human effort. You see, this is why Romans 12 says we have to renew our minds, because our minds are programmed to think that I have to do it. Like the old Whitney Houston song, the greatest love of all is loving yourself. No, that's heresy. No disrespect to her, but she was wrong. That is not the greatest love of all. The greatest love of all is the love of God.
Yes,
it's not the love of self. But that's the message that we're continually bombarded with. you know, in the world is that you have to esteem self. And then you get into comparison and competing, you know, and then there's, of course, that always causes disunity. And then there's fightings and factions and divisions and all the ugly works of that flesh nature, that sin nature that we were born with. That's why we must be born again and we must receive the new nature that Christ Jesus imparts to us. Amen. And then as we receive that nature, we must begin to walk in that new nature and deny that other part of us that wants to rebel against the truth. Philippians 3:4. Although I could have confidence in my own effort, Paul said, if anyone could. Indeed, if others have reason for confidence in their own efforts, I have even more. Now here he begins to, as a fool, he says, begins to boast about his credentials. Verse 5, I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I was a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew if there was, ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous. Now hear this, you can be zealous and be wrong. There are people who are zealous for God, but they're wrong. Just because somebody's excited doesn't mean they're doing the right thing. I repent. That I harshly persecuted the church, and as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For His sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ. Do you understand what's happened to this man? He's saying, man, I no longer put my confidence in my achievements, my worldly accolades, or even my degrees. He says, no, my confidence is in Christ alone now. The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. And as he would submit himself to God daily and lean on Him and trust Him for the grace and the daily bread he needed to overcome in this world, he experienced the resurrection power of Christ in his life. Why? Because he was not feeding his flesh, he was feeding his spirit and denying his flesh. You cannot have resurrection power without a death to the old nature. If you want to continue to feed the old nature, you will not experience the victory of Christ in your life. Come on. You will not experience the victory of Christ in your life as long as you keep feeding your old sin nature. And so the enemy wants to make you an enemy of God again in that sense. An enemy of the cross, it's called. Because you don't want the cross in your life. You want to do what you want, when you want, how you want, whenever you want, and nobody's going to tell you what to do. But when we have a problem, we have a need, boy, we come running, don't we? God, help me. I remember, God, get me out of this mess. If you get me out of this, I'll serve you. He gets me out of it. And then I have to have this short memory. All of a sudden, I start to forget. Next thing I know, I'm back in the same old cesspool again. And then I get desperate. I cry out to God and He pulls me out. What was God trying to tell me? He says, you're going to fail and fail and fail until you learn that in you, you do not have what is required to live righteous. Your righteousness is never righteous enough. You must trust me for your righteousness. You must depend upon me for the ability to live a holy life in this world. You must depend upon me to do what I've called you to do in sharing the gospel with others. You cannot do it in your own wisdom or intellect. There's a lot of people trying to do that, you know. They go to school and they get all this theology and they get into a pulpit and they're just dead because there's no substance. They preached a great message, but it had no power, no life in it. Why? Because they don't know how to lean on the Spirit, because many of them don't even have the Spirit. You understand? They're nothing more than modern day Pharisees. But Paul, who was a man who could have boasted, amen, he outdid most of them as far as the world was concerned. And what the world esteemed as being great. But it says now, he says, I count it all as dung. It's all as garbage. That I may know Jesus Christ. That I may know the Lord. You know, folks, I say this often, but if you're here today and you don't encounter Jesus, it would have been pointless. If we're just here to get a little more educated, then we've missed the point. The Word of God is there to point us to the living Word of God. The written Word points us to the living Word, that we may know Him and the power of His resurrection. And we're conformed to His death, and that we have to struggle, and we have to, every day, we have to determine that we're not going to allow the flesh nature, amen, to control us. Let our desires, the devil wants to get us, you know, to follow our own desires and our own lusts. But I found that if I stay strong in the Lord, if I stay prayed up, if I stay close to Him, if I stay connected to God's people, amen, that I am built up, I am strengthened, I'm edified, I'm encouraged in the faith. I always do better when I'm connected to God's people, amen, and in prayer with a personal devotion to the Lord. I always do better. But when I get distracted and the enemy begins to distract me and throw curveballs at me and get me off course, all of a sudden I find myself getting thin-skinned. All of a sudden I start to sense that old nature coming up again, and I start to get short. I start to get, you know, a little angry. I start to get a little bit upset. I start to get cranky. I start to get into complaining. Why? Because that's the old sin nature that's trying to stick its ugly head up again. And we have to say, no! Yeah. Feed your faith and starve your flesh. Amen. You've got to feed yourself. Some people think if I just go to church once a week or once a month or whatever, I'm good. No, you're not. You may think you are, but others know you're not. You guys know if I'm not doing well, amen? You better not say amen. Of course. Do you understand? I need to keep myself straight and close to God for your sake. You need to keep yourself right with God. Walk close with God for my sake. Amen. That's how it works. Love does no ill to his neighbor. Loving one another means I'm going to be responsible for myself, because what I do does influence and does affect people around me. And if I'm loving my brother and my sister, I'm not going to let that sin nature rule me anymore. Not only can I hurt others, but I grieve the heart of God. And that's the worst thing to happen. Any of us have had children, we know what it's like to have your children grieve your heart. And they dishonor your name, don't they, sometimes? What was your last name again, son? Arnsmeyer, huh? Yeah, you Jack Arnsmeyer's son. Are you hearing me? And I know Jack Arnsmeyer finds out about it, boy. Boy, howdy. Yeah, I told you about that. The size 12 feet coming up those stairs. Boom, 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 boom. He did what? How many here love Jesus? We love Jesus, don't we? And because we love Jesus, we behave ourselves. And we tell ourselves to behave. We take control over this body. And we don't allow it. We don't give it over to sexual immorality. Amen? We take control of these eyes and say, I'm not going to allow these eyes to be looking at things they should not. I take control over what? These ears. And I'm not going to be listening to stuff that can defile my spirit. Because not only is it bad for me, but I'll also be a reflection of that in this world, and I'll contaminate others by what I allow in my life. I've got to guard this thing especially, what comes out of this mouth, amen? Because it can defile. Amen? It can produce death or life, depending on how I want to use it. And I'm going to eat the fruit of what I'm saying. So we want to speak life. We want to bless and not curse. Galatians 6:14, he says, as for me, may I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that cross, my interest in this world has been crucified. This is really well said. Because of that cross, my interest in this world has been crucified. No longer any pleasure in it. It never satisfies. Come on, you know what I'm talking about? As a believer, sometimes we're trying to fill ourselves up on stuff, even possessions or doing things or activities, or let's go to Six Flags, you know, eat about six cotton candies, drink some snow cones, and then get on that ride and get sick and throw up on everybody. Oh, I'm sorry. That was a... Then you go home and say, man, I think I need an aspirin. I need to take a nap. You have fun? Oh, yeah, I had a great time. Or how about going out and getting drunk and the next morning, you know, bowing down to the porcelain god and say, I'll never do that again. Yeah. That's the world. It leaves you empty. It doesn't satisfy. God's joy is your strength. God's peace will guard your heart and your mind. His love will put you in a place where you're not afraid anymore. You're not afraid of people. You're not afraid of the boogeyman. You're not afraid of what could happen. When you're in the love of God, it's a supernatural love. It's a higher love. It's a love where, you know, there's no torment of fear. Isn't that amazing? And God has given us access to His throne of grace. God is saying, come. If we just think we're just going to have a little dab once in a while, a little here and a little there, you're deceived. We have to come to God daily. Give us this day our... Like I said, folks, just because I think I'm doing all right doesn't mean I am. What does God say? Lord, how is it between you and I? That's what we need to be asking. Not as how do I appear a man, but Lord, how is it really between you and I? I want to read one more scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:14. It says, for the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should know or live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Dying to myself means I no longer live for myself, but for Christ. You hear it? Now, I know there's a conflict going on as I'm saying these things with many of us, and you're saying, well, I don't know about that. I don't know if I really want that. I really don't know if I want to give up what I like to do, that I may do what He wants me to do. You see, that sin nature wants to fight against the Spirit. That's compelling us and calling us to go higher, to come out from that. That kind of thinking leads to death. The way of my self-will is the way of destruction. You understand, people can go to church and go through the motions and do things for God and yet be living a self-centered life and not really be walking in the Spirit or in the resurrection of Christ because of that other nature that wants its way. And if we're not careful, we'll end up yielding to that instead of the Spirit of God. And that's when churches begin to fight. That's when they begin to quarrel. That's when they start to offend one another and hate one another because of the sin nature that is there that has to be put to death. If you don't put that sin nature to death, you're never going to experience the resurrection of Christ, the life of Christ, and the life of peace in the Spirit. So we have to make a decision who I'm going to serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will walk in the Spirit. We will serve the Lord. And if we begin to get off, thank God the Holy Spirit is there. Amen. To convict us again. But when He convicts us, it means that He's given you the grace to make the adjustment. Say, okay, Lord, we get back. You don't have to go back to the beginning and start all over again. You just need to make the adjustment. Okay. I want to live. I want to walk with Jesus. I want to experience the joy of fellowship with God in the Spirit. Amen? The pleasures of God. The superior reality of Him. God wants you to walk in a place above the world. Are you hearing me? He doesn't want you bogged down in the chicken yard of this world. He wants you to rise up on wings as eagles. He wants you to soar with Him. He wants you to see things from His perspective. And so He gives us invitation to come to His throne of grace and cry out to God. Pour your heart out to God. Repent of your sins. You're here today and the Spirit of God has been dealing with you. He's been wooing you. He's been calling you to go higher, to commit yourself, to commit your life to Him. It's your decision. God gives you charge of your life, what you're going to do with it. Either obedience unto life or sin unto death. It's your choice. But you need to make a decision today and say, Lord, I want to follow You. I want to recommit my life to You. I want to serve You. And I don't want to serve sin. I don't want to serve my flesh. But I want to walk in new life in the Spirit. Commit your life. Commit your ways to Jesus right now. Whatever you give Him, He can save. If you need to recommit your life to Him, do it now. And ask Him to forgive you. Lord, forgive me for my rebellious ways. Forgive me for the times, Lord, when I wander, and the times when I'm faithless, and the times when I do my own thing instead of Your thing. Forgive me for those times, Lord. Forgive me for the times when I've indulged my flesh, Lord, when I should have obeyed You. Forgive me for those times, Lord, that I've spoken things against brothers or sisters that I shouldn't have. Forgive me for those times, Lord, when I've held grudges against brothers and sisters and I haven't forgiven them from my heart. Lord, I ask You to forgive me for any sins that I know of and any sins that I don't know of. Lord Jesus, I'm just asking You right now to wash me and to cleanse me and to purify me in Your blood. Would You do that right now? Ask Jesus to forgive you. And if there's somebody yet you need to forgive, you do it right now. Do it before the Lord. If you can find them, look them up, but go find them and apologize to them. If you've hurt somebody, you apologize to them. Amen. If they've hurt you, you forgive them from your heart. Let them go. It is not worth it. Make a decision of your will to obey the Spirit of God. Cooperate with the Spirit of God and to forgive them. Speak to that person right now. Just speak to them from your heart and say, I forgive you. Go ahead and name them. Say, I forgive you. And I release you from this. I cancel the debt. You owe me nothing. I choose to let you go. In Jesus' name, I choose to forgive you. If there's somebody else, maybe ask the Lord, Lord, is there anybody? Ask Him right now. Anybody that I'm holding anything against. God will give you that picture. He'll bring that person to you right now. I want you to speak to that person. Speak to their name and say, I forgive you. I choose to forgive you. I choose to release you. In Jesus' name, I cancel the debt. You owe me nothing. You're free to go. In Jesus' name, I choose obedience. Now, Lord, I thank You that as I forgive others, so You forgive me. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Somebody else, just as the Lord would bring them to you. Sometimes people have, there's multiple people you've just been holding on to, and it's been just plaguing you, and it's robbing you of your joy. God wants you to be free from that. Make a decision today to obey the Spirit of God. It's not because people deserve it. We didn't deserve what Jesus did for us, but He loved us, and He gave Himself for us. So we can do likewise for brothers and sisters and others that have hurt us. We can forgive them. By the grace that God supplies, you, as an act of obedience of your will, just choose to forgive that person. Let them go. Speak their name and say, I forgive you in Jesus' name. I release you. You no longer owe me anything. You're free to go. Just release them in Jesus' name. And now say, Lord, I thank you. Let's say it together. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your blood that avails for me. And that forgiveness is mine. I receive your forgiveness today from all my sins. As I forgive others, I thank you that you forgive me. And so I receive that. Amen.